It's time for Cofield and Company Live at Silver Sevens Hotel and Casino.
And the bench is empty. My goodness.
This is huge for DC. DC needed this.
Why get beat up?
Woo, is that weird?
It's time for Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
Adam Hill alongside us, company Angel as well. Silver Sevens, Flamingo, and Paradise, come on by. We got some T-shirts to give away. Cheap beers during the football and hockey game tonight. 277 on the drafts during the beginning of the football game. Once the Golden Knights come on, they drop to 177. It's at the Silver and Gold Bar, also at the Corona Cantina just down the way, where you can also get the beer specials, as we have a gentleman coming up asking for T-shirts to one Adam Hill, who's on the air. Adam?
I'm talking on the air. By the way, I cannot believe that you use the occasion, and we didn't talk about it on the air just now, but we have this week, use the occasion of talking to Lisa Ann to go and make a transaction in our fantasy football league.
What does that mean?
You did it while we were on the, phone with her?
No, I did it during the break.
Okay.
I forgot.
I got the notification during the break.
Oh, I forgot that I had an issue at tight end. Both of my tight ends are out. Right. So I was like, I need to make a pick.
I ranted and raved about all week. You went and picked up in our league.
Yep.
I like it.
Yeah. Well, he was available. That wasn't going to be my first choice, but when he was available, I was like, I'll listen to Adam, and hopefully he scores well. I don't think I'm playing you, so.
I've got Evan Engram in that league somewhere.
I have no shot. I was DOA when I drafted AB.
Yeah, that's a rough
DOA with AB.
Well, you invested heavily. You like to go contrarian. And at the time, everybody was down on him.
You know, I didn't get screwed last year by Le'Veon Bell, but most years I will take chances on guys who have a little doubt going into the season.
Right.
And sometimes it pays off big. Like, what was it, a couple years ago with Zeke Elliott, it paid off the entire season, and then he was back just in time for the playoffs, but I wound up bowing out. But I had a good season. This time around, I rolled the dice on Antonio Brown, and it blew up in my face.
The dice went off the table.
Yes, way off the table. Big five time.
Battle Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Four. Number five.
So I'm glad Lisa Ann was asking about Mattress Mac, right? The mattress guy. Okay, a couple things on him. First of all, did you see some of the headlines and updates on what he lost?
Yeah, a lot of people are claiming he lost like $13 million.
He bet somewhere between 13 and 14. He had won along the way, though.
Right.
So that kind of cut down what the loss could be. But let's set up the story again. Why was he betting on the Astros to win? It was an insurance policy.
Right.
Why? For what?
He's got a furniture store in Houston. 2 years ago, he ran a promotion where from a certain date, if you bought furniture from him and the Astros won, you'd get it refunded. So basically, you'd get free. All your furniture purchase is free if the Astros won. And he tried to buy an insurance policy at the time. He did buy an insurance policy. It ended up, you know, the Astros won, so we had to give him back a lot of money. So he, you know, had the insurance policy pay off. But he figured this time he would do it again. But let's do an insurance policy a different way. I'll self-insure by betting them to win the World Series. And then if they do win, I'll give them the money back. But I'll be rewarded from the sports book.
He made enough money, or he made enough bets that he was going to make about $2 million. Maybe a little more with some bets yesterday.
Right.
So he didn't lose.
No.
He just didn't win, he didn't win. Well, but he did win. You know, in a way, he won.
Well, he got a lot of promotion.
Well, he's even mentioned that. Someone, I don't know mattresses, and I don't know furniture, but I feel like every time I go and look at either, I'm getting completely hosed.
Yeah.
Someone tweet at us, at Steve Cofield, at ESPN Las Vegas. Like, what's the real markup on a mattress? If you're buying a $3,000 mattress, what do you think the cost is to the freaking store?
Like $38.
I seriously think it's like $300 or $400.
I think less.
So did he make like 80 or 90? Is he clearing 80 or 90% on these stupid mattresses that are over $3,000? Then he was better off losing.
Probably.
Right?
Yeah, probably.
If his bet's worth $13 million, and if say the markup is like 90%, right? Then he might have cleared like $5 million and he's got to pay taxes. But so he still won.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And that's
he won
also,
by for the Astros losing.
But it's also why I hate this story so much, because it keeps it's continuously portrayed as a sports betting story, and it's not. It's an it's a business and insurance story.
And who's driving the bus on this one? Because for some reason, I don't know who likes this guy, but some people do. For some reason, this mattress dude befriended that little dork, Darren Revelle. And Revelle was, like, tied to his hip for the last two games, taking videos of him. I don't know how it works out for some people like this guy. But so,
you mean Revelle, not Mattress
so,
Mac.
No. I'm going to get to Mattress Mac himself and why you probably shouldn't root against him. Clay Travis was speaking about the mattress dude before Game 7 and said this.
For a long time, that ultimately the election is going to come down in 2020 to what? The Big Ten states. So the Big Ten is going to decide who the next president of the United States.
Thank you. Wrong video. Here's what he said. I find myself rooting for this Mattress Mac guy to lose all of his money because I'm tired of hearing about him. Marketing genius, but I want this guy to go bankrupt. I wish he would lose $100 million.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. Before we get all triggered, what do you say about Mr. Travis all the time?
He's playing a character.
Okay. Is that a bit, or is he showing his true colors? Like many of us, we hate on people who are successful. Is it a bit, or are those his true colors?
I think that it's just hyperbole. Like, I don't think he really cares about Mattress Mac. I think he's doing this as a, hey, everybody's saying how much they love the guy. He's, you know, giving to charities, and he's taking nuns to the game, and all this other stuff. I hate him. I want him to lose. All right, whatever.
All right. Well, a lot of the responses said, this guy's done so much for the city of Houston. He gave away tons for the victims of Harvey. He still gives away today. That was awful of you to say, Clay. Someone else said, the guy is a hero in Houston. Nobody does more for the city during disasters. Points out that Joel Osteen closed his church. Actually, it's true. During Harvey, this guy opened his furniture store as a shelter during Harvey. He is a marketing genius. And that is why you've heard of him. So I'm not going to go all crazy that he's ripping on a dude who seems like a nice guy, because, like you said, it might just be part of the bit.
Yeah, I think it pretty much is. Now, again, like I said, it's not his fault that this story is blown up. In fact, it's good for him. He's marketing. He's doing a great job. I think the coverage of him of this as a sports betting story is obnoxious. And I think a lot of people just don't understand that's not really what the whole story is. And we've talked about this all the time. We always talk about the furniture aspect of it. Not everybody does. And listen, I think us, you know, the media in general, I think us at the RJ, I think we did too much on him. And covered
it
in the
sports
betting story.
But why did you do it?
People are interested.
Right.
And that's what you have to do sometimes.
Next up.
Number four.
So Mr. Travis can be kind of a dookie head sometimes. But, you know, in the media, the guy who constantly pops up and you just say, man, what is wrong with this guy? And this actually goes back to Game 6, is your buddy and Dookie, saying Dookie twice, in this case referencing Duke, the school, Seth Davis, college basketball guy.
Oh, he's just obnoxious about everything.
Did
all
you see
time.
What he did the other day? He went after Dave Martinez, said, remember Martinez came out, was flipping out, you know, backing his guys, backing his team. Said that is absolutely horrible by Dave Martinez. You got the home run and you lose it like that? Totally letting down his players. Awful.
I had no problem with what Martinez did at all. In fact, I think he was strategic about it. I think he waited until after, if you remember, he waited until after the home run, waited until after the inning. That's when he went out and started arguing. I think he knew that he was going to get kicked out. He was like, all right, now let's not let that momentum die. Let's make sure that my team still knows that they got screwed and that they should, you know, go over the top and continue this and keep it going. I think it was very strategic on his part to wait until after the inning was over and after they had momentum and make sure that they kept it up.
You know, I can't judge this dude objectively.
I know.
With his stupid markers and everything else. And I guess, you know, there should be a forgive and forget, but I still think one of the most ridiculous things he ever tweeted was talking about MMA back in 2012. When he said he was watching UFC with his kid, and he said, looking on news sites showing pictures of two muscular, bloody men in homoerotic fighting pose. What?
I don't even know what that means. I mean, I guess I do, but it's a ridiculous thing to say.
He got criticized. Then he apologized to a media member.
Was it you?
Wasn't me.
Okay.
No, it was Ariel Helwani. He deserved it.
Oh.
Yeah. Ariel was offended, so he apologized to him.
Oh, good. Well, good. At least Ariel got the apology. If anybody's going to get it, I guess it should be him.
Creep. But I know a lot of people like him, so I don't get it. I don't get it.
Me neither.
But he had another one of these dopey tweets over the weekend. Next up.
Number three.
All right, Garrett Cole was the talk of the postgame in the World Series. He was quoted as saying, "I'm not an employee of the team." This guy was on the Astros, you know, until the game ended. Got him to the World Series. Had so many big moments. He said, I guess I'm a representative of myself. He did this while wearing a hat with a little logo that had like a B on it. What team is that?
It's the Scott Boras team.
He put...
It's Team Boras.
He put a Team Boras hat on right after they lose the World Series. Now, I'm pretty crass and, you know, not super sensitive to situations, but can you just... I don't even know what the right term is. Can you just be a little depressed with your teammates for, like, an hour and then start looking forward to free agency?
Well, he was mad that he didn't get to pitch. I think he was pouting about it, certainly.
Oh, you think so?
I think I can understand on that level. I would probably feel in the same way, but I do think it's interesting. As you said, they told him, all right, hey, the press conference is going to start over here. The reporters are coming to your locker. And he said, I'm not an employee of the team. I guess I'll just go out and represent myself. And that's exactly what he did. I think he was sending the message of, I'm not on this. My contract officially ended with the final out of this World Series.
Wow.
I'm out. I'm done.
Would you be mad as a beat writer? You're like, hey, man, I need some good quotes here. Now you're not, you know.
No, because I thought he gave pretty good quotes.
Okay.
I thought he gave a pretty good interview. Better than, you know, stupid Baker Mayfield yesterday. I thought he answered the questions. I thought he was, he was thinking out about what he was saying. And I think, he thanked the Astros and the organization and everything else. But he's done. He's moved on already.
Could any Astros fan be mad at him?
No.
Could they be insulted about doing this right after the game, after this heartbreaking loss in the series?
I guess they could. That he's already thinking about himself and he's already, moved on. And he obviously had that planned before. It's not like you come to the stadium with a Boras hat if you don't plan on doing it. Like, he had this already thought out that, if they lose, I'm gonna be moved on already and express that I'm a free agent and I'm on the market. All those other things. I guess you can be annoyed by it, but he gave you everything he had for the time that he was under contract.
Top two stories.
Number two.
Did you see the odds are out for next year? Major League Baseball.
Already?
Yes.
Jumping right. Oh, his Mattress Mac already put down $20
million? You better. He's got value now. The Astros are the favorite at 5-1. Are you kidding me?
So $20 million at 5-1? $100 million?
I don't think someone's taking $20 million at 5-1.
Me neither.
What about the odds? 5-1. Astros are the favorite to win the World Series next year.
Are they getting Garrett Cole?
Doesn't sound like it.
Doesn't seem like it. Are they getting playoff Verlander?
Right? We're talking not playoff Verlander, World Series Verlander.
Yeah, World Series.
Because playoffs, he's okay. He's now 0-6 in the World Series. Yeah. Well, let's examine a couple things here. First of all, you wish you had inside information, right? That you knew the Astros were going to make a run at Garrett Cole and keep him. How can the Astros not keep him? How do they look at their fans and go, we can't afford him?
Are they gonna have to compete with Team Boras in the free agent market? What is he
well,
a team?
And anyone who is an Astros fan who doesn't think the Astros can afford him, find a new team. You don't know anything about your team. Your owner is a billionaire.
Right.
You know how much money he's made off of this recent postseason success? And I don't want to hear that he's got to pay other guys. Pay all of them. If he needs to field a $300 million payroll, do it. Are they the third largest city in the country now?
Fourth. Could they get money from Mattress Mac to pay some players?
Jim Crane doesn't need money.
That's true.
Seriously.
That's fair.
But in terms of team building, would you keep Garrett Cole? He's probably going to command
he's 29, right?
He's 29 years old. If the biggest deal last year was Patrick Corbin, and I think it was like 6 for $150, something like that. He's going to get a longer deal and more money. So he's probably going to get somewhere around $230 to $250 million for 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, I was thinking 8 for like $240.
And Here's the great part about this. While I'm saying on October 31st the Astros better keep him or Jim Crane is crap, the rest of baseball better not let the Astros keep him.
Well, if
how many teams need to step up? First of all, you know the Yankees want to make a run at him. They've got a history with him going back to freaking high school when they drafted him. The Dodgers and the Angels, I don't care which one of them gets him, those two teams should drive him to $400 million against each other.
Yeah.
In fact, well, the Angels owe Mike Trout. What they owe Mike Trout is getting Gerrit Cole, Steven Strasburg, and Mad Bum, all three.
Yeah.
That guy has done so much for you. I don't want to hear about money issues. And then the Dodgers, if the Dodgers don't get the next number one pitcher, because clearly Clayton Kershaw is going to go, you know, backslide a little more each year coming up, I don't want to hear about money concerns. And guess what? The Dodgers' system of, hey, having one horse at the top and then like eight quality starting pitchers and then, you know, 40 guys who can play throughout the year, it works during the regular season. You got to have a second horse or a third horse to win a World Series. It ain't working.
Right.
So they have to be in it for him.
Yeah. The one thing I'll say about the Astros, I don't think if Gerrit Cole had any thought of maybe going back there that he would have known what he did last night.
So that said, the Astros should just make him a ridiculous offer. That's part of the gamesmanship now. With the 10 or 12 teams that want to win, and you know there's like three that can't spend the money, and then the teams that don't just don't want to win. With the 10 or 12 that want to win, they all have to make runs.
Well,
at these guys, and like I just said, Strasburg, the crazy one is Strasburg. He's got 4 years left and $100 million on his deal. He can opt out. And he's probably going to, because guess who represents Strasburg? Boris.
Did he wear the Boris hat last night?
Maybe.
I think he did. No, he did not.
How nuts is this pitching market going to be with those two guys at the top?
Insane, but also, you know, we've seen a hesitancy to people's outfits. We've seen a hesitancy to invest in pitchers, especially pitchers that are about 30. I mean, even though obviously those guys are great, we're just talking about an 8-year, $240 million contract for a guy that's 29 years old and will end up he's 37 and probably be done pitching at like 34, the way elbows work. I don't know if I want to do that, but you also have to.
Could anyone, because the Dodgers tried to upset the apple cart last year, it did not work with Bryce. I wonder how many people will try what the Dodgers did. So instead of going, hey, you get 8 years and, you know, $260 million, I'll give you $200 for 4 years, and then you can be a free agent again when you're 33, Gerrit Cole. You get to make $50 million a year.
It's worth a try.
Right? Bryce turned it down. I think Bryce got offered, I thought it might have been four for $160 million. And obviously he wound up getting double the money.
Right.
This one, you could actually work this one because no one's going to pay, you know, a 10-year deal to a pitcher.
You never know. We'll see what it takes to get him.
Boy, we're going to have some crazy deals out there. You're going to have Strasburg signed until he's 37 and, like, not be able to pitch when he's 36 and 37 years old. Same thing could happen to Gerrit Cole.
I mean, I would definitely...
Same thing might be happening to Chris Sale eventually.
I would definitely take more years over more money if I was a pitcher. If I was that age?
Yeah.
No question.
Other choices on the odds board. Dodgers and Yankees 6-1, Atlanta 10. I would bet Boston right now at 12. And Washington is all the way down to 14-1.
Wow. Tigers, 1,000-1.
Is this a crazy long shot? Because they are good every year. Well, there's two of them. Minnesota 20-1 and Oakland 30-1.
Oakland always finds a way.
God, there's so many angles.
You can get involved.
It's funny. We haven't talked baseball for months, and now I'm like, let's go. It's the offseason. Because here's the other angle. Ready for this one? I'm talking about Strasburg getting all this money. Mad Bum probably getting some money. Cole getting a lot of money. Are we going to be talking about this like in the next couple of days and then finalize the deal February 20th? What happened last year? Are the owners getting ready to collude again?
Probably.
Allegedly.
Probably. That's what they've been doing for a couple of years, it seems like. Allegedly.
Remember when Howie Kendrick couldn't really find a job until the very last minute?
How'd that work out?
Mm-hmm. Top story.
Number one.
We didn't collude.
Nah.
Well, I was talking to you guys via text as I think you were flying back, and you guys include Ari and our buddy John Von Tobel, because I was very much into what was happening to the Warriors last night. Now I'm laughing. I wasn't into the fact that Steph Curry went down hard and then it turns out to be a broken wrist. But after my attention moved away from baseball and I saw It was like 57-24 Phoenix at Golden State. Phoenix leading.
Phoenix is legit.
And we just had the discussion. You guys claimed that last Friday I was freaking out about how bad the Warriors are. Now, here's the thing. None of it's going to play out now, which is I'm really disappointed in that because I wanted to see healthy Steph Curry and especially healthy Draymond Green limp to 34 wins. Now, you weren't buying that.
No.
But I'm telling you, it was happening again last night. They were dreadful. They were down, what was it, 72? I think it was 72-40 at the half. They come out in the second half. They don't cut into the lead at all. There's 4 minutes left in the third. They're still getting bombed by like 28. And Draymond Green, like the only guy left with a name on the team, you know, D'Angelo Russell too, has 4 points, four rebounds, and six assists with 4 minutes left in the third quarter. Gets fouled, goes up, and misses two free throws.
Perfect.
Like, you're down 20. Are you going to do anything this year, Draymond?
Well, no, he's not.
Well, we'll see. As I was predicting last week, I thought that in some way Curry and Draymond would shut down before the end of the season. Now, I did not expect, you know, 4 or 5 games in that he would break his wrist.
Well, I also thought they were really, really missing Looney and what he brings to the team.
Okay.
I mean, I
we're not going to find out. I can't argue with you.
No.
I have no argument. Willie Cauley-Stein played last night. I think he's going to be a contributor. But at this point, now it's – they are awful.
Well, now they should tank.
They should.
Yeah.
And they traded their first-round pick with KD to the Nets, but it's protected 1 through 20. So now – I mean, what do you – if Steph – I didn't see the update today. If Steph Curry's out 4, 6, 8 weeks – does he play it all this year? Why would he play? Which is bizarre because the guy's making like $35 million for the season. What do you do with him?
I'd let him play like twice a week maybe.
Right?
Maybe once a week.
Just keep him sharp?
Yeah.
And try to make sure that you have 17, 18 wins?
Yeah.
Now keep in mind, part of this tankathon in the NBA, which will happen, you know, at some point when teams just pull the plug, is heavily weighted to where the... like, the worst three teams don't have some giant extra advantage.
Yeah, but just get in. Get into the process.
Well, I'm all about the show. One, because that means LaMelo Ball will be the understudy to Steph Curry when he's the number one pick in Golden State. And what?
No.
And is there anything better than watching the gentrification of the crowd moving from Oakland to San Fran completely backfire in the face of those fans? I saw someone complaining last night because Golden State actually made a run. Now, there was some ridiculous stuff said like, you know, if the crowd was there, they could have won the game. Believe me, I was the only idiot outside of Golden State fans who were watching because I actually bet in the second quarter. I bet Golden State plus 15.5. It is one of the great backdoor covers ever. They lost by 11. But it's because... because think about this statement. The Suns took everyone out to take it easy on them. Yeah. The Suns did. And then they were like, all right, Devin Booker, can you go in, hit some threes, let's win this. And they lengthened it. But,
what did it get down to?
The lowest. It was actually the final margin. It got down to 12 at one point. It bloated back up to like 22, and then it finished at 11. But
Never in doubt. For your
actually, with 90 seconds left, it was toggling between 16 and 18. And I'm sitting there sweating this stupid, meaningless game that basically has ended the Warrior season.
Isn't betting great?
It is.
It's the best.
Well, I love in play. You know that. Yeah. I love betting the comebacks. And, you know, I won some yesterday, but I'll probably have 10 losses in a row here. But the overall story is the Warriors are not going to be the Warriors this year. And now we're going to have to see what they do with a very depleted roster. How do you manage this? But also, you're going to laugh at me on this one. What do you do about that crowd that paid all this money?
Who cares?
For like 39 more home games. Now they just paid for nothing.
Laugh at them?
Are they going to show up?
No. I mean, they will to see the arena. I mean, the ones that have season tickets, they're not going to go to every game. They'll give them away. They'll give them to their coworkers or their employees, whoever. The people will show up, but it's not going to be the same kind of fans, that's for sure.
Yeah, someone was complaining on Twitter last night, if you'd stayed around and were rooting on the team when they cut it down to, you know, 13 and 15, they could have won. They weren't going to win.
No.
They weren't going to win. But and those people were not going to stay when they were down, you know, 32 at the half and 30 in the first half. All right, we got to get to what's going on with VGK over the Fortress today. We'll hit that, and then Brad Powers gets us ready for another week in college football.
It's the Big 5 at 4. Brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. 570-9000. Now, back to Silver Sevens Hotel and Casino. It's Cofield and Company.
For my monster from his slab. So much to hit on today here at Silver Sevens. Corner of Flamingo and Paradise. We're at the Silver and Gold Bar. We got Thursday Night Football coming up with the unbeaten Niners taking on the Cardinals. You got hockey over at the Fortress with the Knights taking on the Canadiens. This Warrior story that we were just hitting on, Steph Curry is now down for a while. Broken wrist. Warriors were terrible with him. You guys believe that they were still going to bounce back and maybe be on the edge of the playoffs. I thought they were headed towards 35 to 40 wins. Doesn't matter now. He's going to be shut down for a while, and the focus is going to be on developing a couple of young guys, moving forward, and probably stinking as much as they can. What I don't want to hear, though, from Warriors fans is, boo-hoo, all these bad breaks that we just got. Oh, really? Oh, is that right? Because I saw this multiple times last night. That who was it? One of the media guys in the Bay Area said, in their last six games that matter, the Warriors have lost Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry. I can't imagine that any other NBA team has ever lost that much in a game six span. Well, you know, they won three titles, and I can't imagine that any team had as many injuries to the opposition as the Warriors did and benefited from. So it's coming back on you a little bit, and it's coming back like in one bunch. But look back at the history, Adam, of how things worked out. Listen, they're a great team. They could have won the titles even against some of those healthy teams. But the 2015 finals, when they took out the Cavaliers, Kevin Love was out for the entire series, and Kyrie Irving played game one and then was done for the series.
Right.
So that was a non-series. Let's talk even on the way to the finals. Right, they won in 2017. Remember what happened to like, who's the best player in the NBA right now? And he was damn close to that back in 2017. Kawhi Leonard. Right. Kawhi Leonard stepped on Pachulia's leg. Well, a lot of people think Pachulia did it on purpose. Kawhi Leonard, right. Western Conference Finals, played game one, missed the rest of the Western Conference Finals. Is that it? No, of course not. 2018 Western Conference Finals. What happened? Rockets take a 3-2 lead. Chris Paul gets hurt in game five, out for game six and seven. They come back and win 4-3. So I don't want to hear about, you know, the Warriors whining about injuries. Yeah, it happened all at one time. Here's the other thing. Kevin Durant wasn't coming back. I mean, I think that's pretty clear now.
Right.
Well, wasn't he saying more today about the Warriors and, like, not having a connection?
Well, he said part of the issue, and it goes back to when him and Draymond got into a dust-up on the floor after a game. It was a loss to the Clippers. Apparently carried over into the locker room as well. Draymond Green was suspended a game for conduct detrimental by the organization, and Durant said, he's like, it wasn't the biggest factor. It was certainly one of the factors, and me eventually saying it's probably just not going to work out here anymore. And he said there was many, many reasons, but that was, you know, he said, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't a factor at all in my decision to get out of there. So yeah, I mean, it was, I think that one was kind of booked well in advance.
Boo-hoo. Injuries happen.
Of course.
And they happen to a lot of other teams while the Warriors remained, you know, virtually spotless in terms of, you know, really, really serious injuries. On the way back, we're going to find out more about the game tonight with the Golden Knights and the Canadiens, and also why Patches doesn't like Adam Hill anymore.
Hit up Cofield and Company on Facebook, like ESPN Las Vegas.
Look out. Smith fakes through, feeds right, down low in front, extra pass, score! William Karlsson, the no-look line backward pass from Smith. It is a power play goal. 4-1 Golden Knights. 10:33 to go in the second.
Now, back to Silver Sevens Hotel and Casino. It's Cofield and Company.
This is the song you wanted?
To tell about this guy, you all know me, and he's scared as hell. He comes to me a night after I call him to bed. He's burnt up like a weenie, and his name is Fred. He wears the same hat and sweater every single day.
He's burnt up like a weenie.
His name's Fred.
All right.
It's Freddy Krueger.
Good job, Ari.
Huh?
Adam wanted something, you got it.
Oh, my street. It's good.
So you like Halloween in spots?
Sure. When I was seven, I liked it. The song was out.
Did you write a feature about the Golden Knights Halloween party and their awesome costumes again?
I didn't.
Why not?
I was on Raiders duty this week, so a little bit different. But yeah, I tweeted some of the costumes. There was some good stuff there. Also, last year the big hit was the Eric Howla lion, which would terrify everyone. This year he was the Tin Man. That was pretty good. I saw that one on Twitter.
Nice.
Going through, all of the... his lovely new wife was Dorothy, but I guess he's going through all the Wizard of Oz characters.
Is your role for the paper tonight to go just crazy on social media sending out Halloween fan pictures?
No, I think we actually have somebody on that. We have a photographer and a social media person out there to handle
that. I was being serious. I just didn't know if that was your assignment.
I'm actually on the main gamer tonight, so a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure.
Is there pressure?
Yeah, a lot of pressure.
You feel it?
Yep. Nervous.
Are you nervous to go into the locker room after the game?
I won't. I'll be writing, so I'm going to let the other guys handle going to the locker room today.
Are you scared to go in there now?
A little bit. A little nervous.
So what's going on? I thought Adam often brags about his tight relationships with some of the important players on the Golden Knights and the Raiders.
I do not brag.
You brag all the time. Off the air, you're like, hey, guess what? Patches and I did.
So not true.
Reeves and I just had a beer the other day.
This is so not true. None of this is
Incognito
true.
Told me this story. I can't tell you, though. It's off the record.
No, me and Richie were talking about UFC, and he picked Diaz.
Oh, good. Now you got a first-name basis.
Yeah.
Do you call Max Pacioretty Patches?
No, absolutely not, ever.
Okay. Will you be able to actually call him anything?
No. It's over.
What'd you do?
Well, I have told this. I did tell the story. I'm not bragging about relationships, but I will say Max Pacioretty has been... of all the athletes in Las Vegas, the most impressed with some of my random T-shirt collection. I was wearing a Biggie shirt one day in the locker room, and he said it was, quote, the greatest shirt ever worn in a hockey locker room. Then I had a Sandlot shirt on the next day. He's like, wow, two for two. Great job. Either way, I felt like there was, we were at a point where I could be comfortable mm-hmm. writing kind of a, as I get a little too advanced. So,
and as always, you overstep and then it gets awkward.
Yeah, so I don't know if anybody saw that. I guess if you were watching the game the other night, you may have seen it. They were doing the cameraman panned across the Vegas Golden Knights bench, and you could hear the music playing in the arena. It was Jump Around, a great 90s hip-hop song. And everyone on the Golden Knights bench was just sitting there, basically heads down, no reaction, nothing. As they pan over and they get to Max Pacioretty, he is what I would describe as kind of half-dancing and rapping along to the lyrics. It was a very interesting shot. I saw some people tweeting about it. It kind of blew up a little bit on social media. Right after the game, I went down to the locker room, and after Pacioretty was done with his interviews, I said, did you feel like dancing and rapping along with Jump Around is really what got the team jump-started in the third period? And he looked at me and said, were you looking over at the bench then? And I said, no. It was on the monitors. And he looked at me and said, you're lying. And I was like, no, it was up there. And he screamed a curse word and walked out of the locker room. Now, it wasn't angry. He wasn't angry. I think it was just one of those things like, hey, I was just kind of doing, I was in my own mind right there. Like, I don't want that to be on TV. He was not happy with it. So the next day, I brought a camera person with me, and I brought the clip of him rapping on the bench into the locker room. And I said, hey, man, since you didn't know that it was on TV last night, I'll give you a little some time to, to think about it or whatever. Can you watch the clip on my phone and kind of comment on what was going on? Like everybody else's reactions, what was going on? And he said, I've seen it already. I saw the clip. And I was like, oh, okay. Whoa. I was like, do you want to? And he goes, my wife sent it to me. I'm not happy about it. I don't want to talk about it. And I was like, come on, man. I thought he was kidding. And I was like, all right, come on. Like, let's just have fun with this. No. Wasn't happening. He's like, I said no. Like, okay. I guess we're not like that right now.
Oh, man. Didn't we almost have it all?
I thought
Cue
as
up
a,
Whitney.
I thought as a, he's appreciating the Biggie shirt as a hip-hop fan. I thought he'd be very happy to talk about rapping along on the bench.
As always, you cross the line.
It was the second day that was the problem. The first night was fine. But it was almost like, dude, I clearly said I didn't want to talk about this. Why are you doing this again?
More on the Golden Knights. We'll go over the numbers from the game. We're going to talk to Brad Powers, college football expert, who's going to tell us if number 15 SMU can pull off the massive upset on number 24 Memphis.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.
Bases loaded, one out. Urquidy out of the bullpen. That is up the middle. One run scores. That's Gomes. They hold Robles. Now send him as Mariznick kicks it in center. Two more runs and it's 6-2.
It's my distinct pleasure to present the Commissioner's Trophy to the 2019 World Series champion, Washington Nationals.
Now, back to Silver Sevens Hotel and Casino. It's Cofield and Company.
All right, let's get our preview on the gaming side of the college football weekend. Brad Powers is in from Straight Outta Vegas and pregame.com. Brad, did you have any money on the World Series?
I did not. You know, certainly I wish I bet Washington, mid-June when they were 79-1. That would have been nice. And certainly I wish I would have, you know, bet the road team and let it ride all seven games.
I mean, I was asking you and Adam behind the scenes, and then we were tweeting it out that if you'd bet 100 on the road team in every game and let it ride, you would have had a pretty nice payoff, upwards of like $19,000.
Yeah, that would have been nice. You could have been driving in a nice little down payment on a house or a nice little new vehicle driving around Vegas.
Sure. Game day this weekend is actually in Memphis, and I love doing this, where number 15 SMU is trying to pull the upset on number 24 Memphis.
Yeah.
Because Memphis is actually laying six. What do you think about this game?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes to show you the, I would say, the involvement of, you know, sports gambling. I think 15 years ago, this line wouldn't be six. It just, you got an unbeaten team that's higher ranked than a Memphis team that, I get it, they only have one loss, but still, the fact that they're laying six tells you that SMU's overrated, and I believe they are. It's an SMU team that's, you know, 4-0 in games decided by a touchdown or less so far. And even last week, they were outgained by more than 100 yards against Houston playing with a backup quarterback, and they almost lost that game. I'm a little disappointed at the line. I thought I was going to get three or four, and that's about where it opened. All the money coming on Memphis. I don't have a significant lean here.
Let's back it up to actually tonight's game and another unbeaten team. Do you believe Baylor is overrated, overvalued, laying 18 against West Virginia?
Yeah, I got a slight lean on West Virginia here because I do think you're paying a premium on Baylor in this spot. And, I mean, I get it. They got revenge for last year. But we're starting to get to the time of the year where the zero in the loss column, where, you know, Joe Public, it's an isolated TV game tonight. They're going to see an unbeaten team, and that's the team that they're going to want to bet on. Because of that, I think Baylor's expensive, and because of that, I think there's slight value on West Virginia.
One game tomorrow, Navy and UConn. Navy almost a 4-touchdown favorite here.
So check this out. The most databases only go back about 40 years. This is the largest road favorite role ever for Navy, ever, and it's by quite some margin. They haven't laid more than 3 touchdowns in any road game in the last 40 years. It was a Temple game back in 2007 where they were right around a 20-21 point favorite. So usually I like playing against historical outliers. Why? Because usually that means you're paying a premium on that team. I think that's the case here. I know Navy's much improved this season. I know Connecticut's one of the 5 worst teams in the country, but 27's way too much. Give me the Huskies.
We talked about Liberty a lot last week because they were playing Rutgers, and we were very entertained by that game. But now, Liberty, a big favorite on the road against Massachusetts. I only bring that up because I was so obsessed with Liberty last week, and they did not disappoint with their awful performance.
Yeah, and I mean, even Rutgers players after that game mentioned the point spread, that they couldn't believe it themselves, so sometimes you got some motivation there. You know, I want to bet Massachusetts, and I think there's some slight value on UMass here, but I got to be perfectly honest, guys. I've never had a team power rated lower in my power rank. I've been a part of power rankings going back a decade plus now. UMass is the worst team I've ever seen at the FBS level. And even though I came into the season thinking they were going to be the worst team in the country, I've still downgraded Massachusetts by nearly 2 touchdowns. And I'm not sure it's enough here. Just a lean on UMass. I'm a little scared playing on this team. This could be one of the worst teams we've ever seen in college football.
Pretty weird spot for Michigan, coming off 2 huge games for them. Now they go on the road and lay 3 touchdowns at Maryland.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And you got a game against Michigan State coming up here for them. But Michigan, to me, looks like they turned the corner at least the last six quarters for them after they got, you know, they were down 21-0 against Penn State early in that game. They outplayed Penn State the second half of that one. They were clearly Michigan, the better team, and obviously a very impressive win over Notre Dame last week. Yeah, I'm not sure they have great motivation to get margin here, but I think Michigan's a bad matchup for Maryland. It's certainly been the case the last 4 years where Michigan's won their games against Maryland by 33 points per game, covered them by nearly two touchdowns per game. I think Michigan rolls over the Terps.
We called it last week that USC was laying too many points at Colorado. They won, but Colorado got the cover. So what does that mean for this one? SC back home getting five against Oregon.
I'm leaning with SC here. I mean, under Clay Helton, they're usually a much better home team than they are on the road. 23-3 straight up at home under Helton. They already have one big home win already this year against Utah, a pretty good team, similar when it comes to a power rating as Oregon. I think Oregon's been a little exposed the last couple weeks. They got two W's in the win column, but, I mean, you're allowing 31 and 35 points to Washington State, and I thought Oregon was fortunate to win both of those games. I'm leaning with SC here.
Another game in the Pac-12, big one for both teams, and especially for national title hopes, if there's any, for Utah at 3.5 at Washington.
I like Washington. I bet Washington here. And to me, it's all about, you know, when it comes to good coaches, what defines a good coach? To me, one of them is how do you do with extra time to prepare? Chris Peterson, the head coach for Washington, let's go all the way back to his Boise State days, going back to 2006. When he's off a bye in the regular season, Chris Peterson is 18-0, zero, no losses, straight up off a bye. He's 11-7 against the number. He's covering him right around 4 points per game. And that alone to me says I want to bet Washington. On top of that, I think Utah is expensive. They've easily won and covered their last four games, but against two. They had three home games and then a bye on the road before playing on the road against Oregon State. They're too expensive. Washington's undervalued. Therefore, when you combine the two, you got a great bet here on Washington plus 3.5.
Last one, Florida, 6.5. They're the dog against Georgia.
Too many points. I'm on the dog again here. Give me Florida. To me, it's all about do we really know how good Georgia is? Because this line says they are a legit top-five team. The fact that they're nearly a full touchdown favorite over, I think, is a top-10 Florida team. Why do I think that? Well, I've seen Florida go on the road and compete well against LSU for a majority of that game. I've seen them beat Auburn. Georgia's big wins against Notre Dame. Well, that win doesn't look so great now, the fact that Michigan crushed the Irish. Add it all up, and the fact that Florida gets three key starters back, Florida plus 6.5.
Brad, we appreciate it. Have a winning weekend. We'll talk to you, buddy.
Right back at you guys. Take care.
Brad Powers, at BradPowers7 on Twitter. VGK going to roll tonight, Adam?
Yeah, I think so.
Minus 240.
Get Alex Tuck back probably, Nate Schmidt back for sure. Looks like they're going to be in a good spot.
Get on down here to Silver Sevens, check out the hockey, and Thursday Night Football is on the way.